favorite songs. And we thank the Father for the Son who died for us, our Redeemer. And we thank him for the Spirit who enables us. We would not be able to understand the Word of God if it were not for the Spirit of God. We would not be able to preach or serve God in any way if it were not for the Spirit of God. Anyway, that's not my message tonight. But praise God. If you'd like to take that blue sheet and open your Bibles, please, to Romans chapter 15. Romans chapter 15 and verse 14. We've been turning there a couple of times now, I think, as we've moved through the series on people. And there's a few more times we're going to turn to this verse yet. It's an important verse as we think about seeking to help each other, seeking to counsel each other, bring the Word of God to each other, disciple each other, interact with each other in a godly way. Okay, the series is called People, and the title of this evening's message is Compassion. Let's ask God's help. Father, we come and ask your help because we need your Spirit until your work on earth is done. We cannot do this of ourselves. We cannot preach the Word. We cannot understand the Word except you open it out to us. And so we come and we ask and we plead, Lord, that we might have the compassion of the living God. Oh, Lord, descend on us tonight and help us. Help us to see people through your eyes. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, imagine a veteran bushwalker taking out a group of teens who have never been out in the bush before. The veteran is going to have his work cut out for him, helping the group. Off they go, and before long, someone is developing blisters on their feet because they've taken the wrong kind of socks, and so their feet are slipping around in the shoes and they're developing blisters. So the veteran gives them his spare set. Someone else has back pain because they're carrying an ill-fitting backpack, and the veteran helps that person carry their backpack. Someone else finds that they're getting cold and wet from wet jeans. Jeans are one of the worst things you can wear bushwalking, because as you go through that brush and bush bash, they get wet and then they stay wet and they keep you cold all day. Someone else falls over in the first stream that they cross, and no one told them that they should have the stuff in their backpack waterproofed, and so everything gets wet. There are plenty of traps for those who don't have the right gear and experience. The veteran soon learns that if he's going to take out a group of young people who don't know anything about the bush, he's going to need help. He can't do it alone. He needs a team of mates, veterans themselves, who can help. Someone has said of the modern Western church, in any given congregation, there are more people needing help than there are people able to help them. We all come to Christ with our baggage from our past life. We have weights and sin that so easily besets us. And in helping each other, we need to help each other according to Hebrews 12 and verse 1. We need to help each other lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. But there are more people with serious baggage, all these weights, than there are those who know how to lay aside that baggage themselves, and let alone be able to help others to run with endurance the Christian life. This series on people is aimed at equipping us by knowing how to lay aside the baggage ourselves, and it's going to take us a little while to get there, but we're going to move through that, how to lay aside the baggage ourselves, and then how to help others to do so. Romans 15 and verse 14 says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brethren, that you are also full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another." Being able to admonish or help each other spiritually has two criteria according to that verse. Number one, we need to be full of all goodness. And number two, we need to be filled with all knowledge. Verse 14 says, "Now I myself am confident concerning your my brethren, that you are also full of goodness." That's the first criteria. "Filled with all knowledge," the second criteria, "able to admonish one another." We could summarize that by saying, if we want to help each other, we need to be spirit-filled, we need to be word-filled Christians. Last time we began to look at what full of goodness might mean. We said that full of goodness is associated with a fullness of faith, a fullness of light, a fullness of joy and grace, and a fullness of power. Like I said, we need to be spirit-filled, word-filled Christians. Of those five that we looked at last time, grace is very important in terms of relationships, and it's relationships that we're talking about in terms of the local church and indeed in our own families. Today we're going to focus on being full of compassion, and that is closely related, closely knit to grace. I have never heard a message on compassion. And amongst 5,000 resources I have in my library at home, I have just one little pamphlet on the compassion of Jesus. That's it. But the Bible is full of teaching and full of examples of compassion. Can I say I had great joy in preparing this message, in finding out what the Bible said on compassion. I want for us to have hearts of genuine compassion, for that is what is needed in helping others. To be full of goodness is to be full of compassion. From the scriptures, I want us to see what compassion looks like. And there are two ways to scripturally examine compassion. The first way to scripturally examine compassion is by pictures of compassion. There are actually pictures in the scripture, word pictures. The word compassion occurs in our New King James Bibles 50 times, 29 times in the Old Testament and 21 times in the New Testament. There are four Hebrew words translated compassion, and there are six Greek words translated compassion. So both Greek and Hebrew have a bunch of synonyms, you understand what I mean by synonyms, as does English, that mean just about the same thing, all referring to compassion. Let's start with the English. When I think of the English word compassion, we're also going to think of other similar English words like mercy, sympathy, empathy, grace, and pity. So compassion definitely involves feelings. We feel for a person, and it definitely involves actions of mercy to the hurting. But to picture this better, let's have a look at the Hebrew and Greek words, for they're going to picture for us what compassion involves. Let's start with Hebrew in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not interested in you in learning the Hebrew and Greek words. What I'm interested in you getting these pictures of compassion, what it should look like in our lives and as we interact with each other. Compassion can be pictured as sighing, S-I-G-H-I-N-G, sighing. The Hebrew word nakam literally means to sigh, and it is first translated compassion in Deuteronomy 32:36, which says, "For the Lord will judge his people and have compassion, have sighing on his servants when he sees that their power is gone and there is no one remaining bond or free." When do we sigh? We can sigh for ourselves, we can sigh for others. When do we sigh? When we grasp the gravity and the difficulty of a situation, we sigh. Like, oh no, oh dear. You can sense that when you've been in a situation like that. When we sigh for others, that is feeling with them. It is compassion. It's not something that should be put on, but as we listen to our brother and sister pouring out their heart, once we've grasped that, we might go, oh yeah, I can see the difficulty there. That is compassion. God sighed for his powerless people. Now they were powerless and they were devastated because they had left him, but he sighed for his powerless people. Verse 36 says again, "For the Lord will judge his people and have compassion on his servants." It's like God went, oh my people, can you hear God feeling for his people because their power is gone, the verse says, when he sees their power is gone and there is no one remaining bond or free. Secondly, compassion can be pictured as a churning or a yearning. A churning or a yearning. These two There are two related Greek words that refer to the bowels. The bowels are often seen as the site of emotion in the scripture. One Greek word is splanchnizomai, and the other one is polysplanknos, or we'd say polysplanknos. Don't worry about the words. But splanchnizomai literally means to have bowels that yearn. And in English, we talk about the bowels as a site of emotion. We say a gut reaction. We say a gut feeling, don't we? These are ways we can talk in English. And certainly that's how the Greeks saw emotion as placed in the bowels. The first time splanchnizomai is translated compassion is Matthew 9:36, and it says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd." Jesus was moved. His bowels yearned for these people to come to Christ. Robert was talking tonight about the lady who was more interested in her light than she was in knowing about the Saviour. And David left. He was, I think what he was saying to us this morning, he yearned for her. Oh, that she would have an interest in the gospel. Her soul is at stake. There is a yearning for the lost. Jesus saw their wandering lost state and yearned for them, yearned that they might come to him. That's splanchnizomai. And then the other word could be said polysplanknos. And you know the word poly means many. It is an intensified form of the word translated very compassionate. Not just compassionate, but polysplanknos, very compassionate. James, in remembering the story of Job, says in James chapter 5 and verse 11, "Indeed we count them blessed who endure, have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord." Can you see that whole story of Job and God's intention at the end is to make him a better man, more like the Saviour, as it were, and to restore him to his former position? We know how the story ends. We know the Lord's heart. Seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate, polysplanknos, and merciful. So, Jesus was compassionate for the lost. And the Lord, the God of heaven and earth, was very compassionate for the grieving, for Job. Can we understand how much the Lord yearns and yearns for people to come to him? Can we see that his compassion guarantees the future of all of us who belong to him? Because the worst situation we get in, his compassion only increases. Polysplanknos, it increases with our deteriorating circumstances. Third, compassion can be pictured as identification, putting yourself in someone else's shoes. Indeed, the English word compassion consists of the word com, which means together, as in company and companion, passion, which of course refers to emotion. So this is emotion together, to feel together. And the Greek word is very similar. It is sympatheo, from which of course we get our word sympathy. Sim meaning with, and pathos referring to passion. So it is to feel with, very similar to the idea of to feel together. The first time sympatheo is translated compassion, it is in reference to the persecuted. The writer of Hebrews refers to how his readers reacted when he was in prison. He says in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 34, "For you had compassion on me and my chains." That's sympatheo. They felt with him as if they were with him in his shoes, or literally in his chains. How God wants us to have compassion like the Lord Jesus on the lost. And he wants us to have compassion like the Father on the grieving like Job. And he wants us to have compassion for the persecuted like the people that the writer of Hebrews wrote to. Now the first three pictures of compassion, these first three that we've discussed, have to do with feeling, how we feel for people, a sighing, a yearning, and an identification with them. All the following pictures of compassion have to do with the active side of compassion, what compassion does. We've looked at how compassion feels. Now we look at what compassion does. So the fourth picture of compassion is caressing. Picture a child running along and it falls over and it skins its knee, and you might gather that child together in your arms and hold them close and caress their head and say, "It's okay, it's okay." And you caress them. That is compassion. The Hebrew word rakam literally means caress, and is first translated compassion in Deuteronomy chapter 13. In that context, idolaters have been found in Israel. You know, of course, Israel, of all the nations, were not to have idolatry. And when idolatry was found in a certain city, village, they were to burn the village. They were to burn all the idols of that village, and they were to burn the village. And we read in Deuteronomy 13 and verse 17. "So none of the accursed things, the idols, shall remain in your hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger and show you mercy, have compassion on you." That's caressing you. God wants to hold you close and caress you and comfort you. And he says, God would turn from the fierceness of his anger, show mercy, have compassion on you, and multiply you, just as he swore to his fathers. But God is not able to do that when people separate themselves from him by their idolatry. God wants to caress his people, for he has compassion on them. The next picture of compassion is stooping. The Hebrew word chanan literally means to stoop. To stoop down, to bend down to help. And the picture here is usually of a higher bending down or stooping to help the lesser. Maybe of a king helping a servant or a parent helping a child. To stoop down is first translated compassion in 2 Kings 13 and verse 23. "But the Lord was gracious to them, had compassion on them. He stooped down to help them, and regarded them because of his covenant with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and would not destroy them or cast them from his presence." They didn't deserve it because they were into idolatry, but because of God's promises to the forefathers, to the patriarchs, he had compassion, and he stooped down to help his people. A sixth picture of compassion is pardoning. The Hebrew word chamal means to spare or to pardon. The picture is of a king sparing someone who deserves, say, execution. And he says, "No, I'll let you off." That is an act of compassion to spare. So we see these pictures of how active compassion is. It caresses. It stoops down to help. And it pardons. The first use of the word chamal, meaning to pardon, translated compassion, is Exodus chapter 2 and verse 6. And this is a pagan person. You'll remember the story, Exodus 2 and verse 6. "And when she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby wept. So she had compassion on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.'" So she pardoned, she spared Moses. You know what the edict was, all the male children were to be executed. The sentence was death, but she showed compassion and pardoned him. A final picture of compassion is gentleness. Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 2, speaking of the high priest, says, He can have compassion on those who are ignorant and going astray, since he himself is also subject to weakness. He can have compassion. The Greek word is found only in this verse in the whole of our Bibles. It is metropatheo, literally to moderate passion. In other words, the high priest could be very angry against sin because sin is so destructive, but no, he moderates his passion against sin because he himself is a sinner and he understands, and so he is gentle in his passion. He is compassionate. There are two other Greek words translated compassion, similar to our English words mercy and pity. So there it is. A compassionate heart feels with the person who is hurting, and then it acts to do something for the person who is hurting. Love, we know about love. We've heard messages on love. Love is to all, but compassion is to the hurting. Consider missionary outreach to the Eskimos in Greenland in the 1700s. The first to go to Greenland was Hans Egede. He was a Norwegian Lutheran, and he was a very stern man. About 10 years later, the famous Moravian missions. Have you heard of the Moravian missionaries? I hope so. There was a wonderful story of how God sent the Moravian missionaries and reached into many lands, but that's another story. Both Hans and the Moravians were there in Greenland, and their approach was very different. Hans was very stern, and he taught theology. the Moravians were very loving, and they emphasized the gospel. The Moravians and Hans, despite these differences, were kind to each other. And then during 1733, an outbreak of smallpox began among the Eskimos. And though Hans was a very stern man, at this time, seeing the Eskimos dying of smallpox, his heart went out in compassion to them. And he went out into the villages, and he served them in the villages. And when he got home, there were Eskimos waiting at the door, and he brought them into his own home, and he put them into his own beds. He and his wife Gertrude showed compassion to the Eskimos throughout the year of that dreadful plague. A dying Eskimo said, "You have been more kind to us than we have been to one another. You have fed us and buried our dead, and you have told us of God so we can die with an expectation of a better life." But Hans and Gertrude worked so hard during that year helping the Eskimos that their health was never the same again. Gertrude died 3 years later. But they had shown God's compassion to the Eskimos. And 5 years later, revival broke out and hundreds of Eskimos came to Christ. Praise God. As for us, we are to show compassion to two groups of people. We are to show compassion to the lost as Jesus showed compassion to the lost. Matthew 9:36 says, "When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them." Can you think of a lady like the lady David described today? When you knock doors, that's absolutely typical. Everyone is too busy for the gospel. Do our hearts go out in compassion for these people? "He was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered, like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest.'" A heart of compassion will do that. And the second group of people that we are to be compassionate to is each other. Peter instructs us in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 8. "Finally, all of you be of one mind, having compassion for one another. Love as brothers, be tender-hearted, be courteous." So we are to show compassion for the unsaved and the saved. I think that adds up to everyone. When it says compassion for one another, we now know what that looks like when we are to show compassion. We are to sigh with pain with our brothers and sisters as we hear their stories of hardship and struggle. Our gut feeling is one of yearning for the lost that they may come to Christ, and a churning for those that are going through hardship in their lives as we bear the burdens with them. It may be someone's child is rebellious, and we churn with them. It may be someone's wife has been unfaithful, if they've lost everything in a fire, or someone has spread gossip about them maliciously and misrepresented them, and their reputations have been ruined. We identify with them as though these things had happened to us. With words or appropriate touch, be careful about touch, but with appropriate touch, we provide comfort. We caress. That is part of compassion. We stop what we're doing and we bend over to help. We're prepared to get our hands dirty, whether they have hurt us or not, whether they deserve it or not. We show compassion. We are gentle and caring. All of this is compassion. Maybe we weed a garden for someone who's an invalid. Maybe someone is wandering and we help them to have victory over sin. We help each other with advice, for the compassionate Christian is full of goodness. Romans 15, And verse 14 says, "Now I myself am confident concerning you, my brothers, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Both compassion and counsel are for the hurting." The second way to scripturally examine compassion is models of compassion. Models of compassion. As the source of all compassion, God is the model. God himself, God the Father, is the model of compassion. Exodus 33 and verse 19 says, God says in that verse, "I will make all my goodness," remember 15 and 14 talks about full of goodness, "I will make all my goodness pass before you, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before you. I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion." Since all men deserve the fires of hell, designed for the devil and his angels, that God is compassionate on any man is amazing. God yearns for the lost, that they will come. He yearned for Israel when they were wandering. Jesus yearned for the multitudes. And one example of God yearning for his people is 2 Chronicles chapter 36 and verse 15. "And the Lord God of their fathers sent warnings to them by his messengers, rising up early and sending them, because he had compassion on his people. He wanted them to turn from their sin and on his dwelling place." He had compassion. Look at the compassion God has shown today in our own time on unbelieving Israel. They still not have turned to him in faith, and yet in compassion he has drawn them back to the land, and he has established them back in the land of Israel. Deuteronomy 30 and verse 3 explains that the Lord your God will bring you back from captivity and have compassion on you and gather you again from all the nations where the Lord your God has scattered you. Because God is a God of compassion, especially for those who are wandering. No wonder the psalmist proclaims in Psalm 86 and verse 15, "But you, O Lord, are a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in mercy and truth." Full of compassion. We as God's people ought to be full of compassion because our God is full of compassion. And three more times in the Psalms, God is described. Three more times, God is described as being full of compassion. Because God is full of compassion, his compassion cannot fail. Isaiah says, God's compassion cannot fail. He says in Isaiah 49 and verse 15, "Can a woman forget her nursing child?" Maybe I did hear a message on compassion one time. I heard a message on this verse. But you are, O God, "Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you." Perhaps the height of human compassion is a mother nursing her newborn infant, and yet her love for that infant may fail. Babies are left deserted on steps. It's possible that a mother's love for an infant can fail. But God's compassion, brother and sister, get this, God's compassion will never, never fail on you. He cares about you. He cares. He hurts with you when you're going through those difficulties. God's compassion will not fail. Isaiah says it. And Jeremiah says God's compassions will not fail. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 22. "Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Underline it. His compassions fail not. "They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Now, of course, Jeremiah is writing this at the time when Jerusalem is destroyed. There's great disaster upon the nation. And you might think God's compassion had failed on his people. But no, his compassion had failed not. No matter whether you go from one disaster or to another, God's compassion on you will never fail. The Father is the first model of compassion, and the Son, of course, is the second model of compassion. Jesus is compassionate. We've already looked at Jesus' compassion for the lost. That's the first example of compassion in Jesus' life. Second, Jesus was compassionate for the sick. Matthew 14 and verse 14. "And when Jesus went out, he saw a great multitude, and he was moved with compassion for them." Why? "And he healed their sick." The other time, because they were lost. This time, they needed this physical help. Third, Jesus was compassionate for the hungry. Matthew 15 and verse 32. Now Jesus called his disciples to himself and said, I have compassion on the multitude because they have now continued with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. And I do not want to send them away hungry, lest they faint on the way. Now, why was he compassionate that they have nothing to eat? Number four, Jesus was compassionate for the demon-possessed. Matthew 5 and verse 19. However, Jesus did not permit him. This is the Gadarene demoniac in whom there was a multitude of demons. Jesus did not permit him, but said to him, go home to your friends and tell them what great things God, the Lord has done for you and how he has had compassion on you. Jesus is compassionate for the lost. Jesus is compassionate for the sick. Jesus is compassionate for the hungry. He is compassionate for the demon-possessed. And Jesus has compassion for the grieving. Luke chapter 7 and verse 13. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. This is the mother. This is the widow of Nain. Had compassion on her and said, do not weep. Then he came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still. And he said, young man, I say to you, arise. Wherever there is hurt, there is compassion in the heart of the Father and in the heart of the Son. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, Jesus taught that compassion is the evidence of love to those that are hurting. Luke 10 and verse 33. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion. He could see he was hurting, couldn't he? So he went to him and bandaged his wounds, pouring on oil and wine. And he set him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. Compassion, dear friends, is an aspect of love. Everywhere it is commanded, and everywhere in the Scripture it is modeled. It is out of compassion that we forgive one another. Matthew 18 and verse 32. Then his master, after he had called him, said to him, you wicked servant, I forgave you all that debt because you begged me. Should you not also have had compassion on your fellow servant, just as I had pity or compassion on you? We can show compassion to each other, forgiving one another, because we have been shown compassion by the Father. Praise God. Dr. Grounds writes of Jackie Pollinger, who worked in Hong Kong. All alone, she began a compassionate work of witness in the notorious walled city, where more than 50,000 people were crowded into 6.5 acres. It was a refuge, he says, for criminals of every kind, thieves, drug dealers, murderers, and prostitutes. Its streets were lined with heroin and opium dens, to say nothing of the pornographic theatres. The walled city, he says, was a rat-infested filth ruled by ruthless gangs. Every morning, the bodies of pathetic wretches who had overdosed and died during the night were simply dragged outside the walled city and left unburied. Jackie was only 20 years old, untrained and unprotected when she moved into that nightmare and started to be a channel for God's compassion, to share the good news of his forgiveness and love. She met with violent hostility. They smashed the windows and the furniture in the youth club she opened, and they smeared that same youth club with excrement, the followers of these drug lords. But that drug lord was so impressed by the message of Jackie that he ordered his guilty gang members to go and apologize to her. They did, and of course, because Jackie had been shown compassion by the Father, she was able to show compassion to them and forgive them. Slowly a change took place through Jackie's unfaltering compassion, he says, dauntless bravery and Christ-centered witness. Hundreds of men and women, drug-enslaved, immoral, lifelong addicts and drunkards, were liberated. Jackie's compassion was not an impotent sentimentality. Motivated by Calvary, the ministry was dynamic and transforming. Indeed, it was the very power of God unto salvation. Jesus, through Jackie, continued his work of compassion. If we would be channels of blessing, we must be channels of Christ's compassion. Without compassion, how can we ever help a woman who has had a stillbirth? Without compassion, how can we help someone who feels panic every time they go into a shop? Without compassion, the lonely will know that we don't really care. With compassion, we can draw alongside the elderly who may feel their usefulness is over. Without compassion, can we go the distance with a young man who goes into a rage every time something goes wrong for him? It is with dreadful hang-ups and baggage that people get saved these days. Without Christ's compassion, we'll give up long before we see them come through to victory. Compassion helps us to relate to parents and youth and seniors. Compassion will show the way of victory for a homosexual. Compassion will show the way of forgiveness for a woman who's had an abortion. Compassion will help people in violent and abusive situations. Compassion sits alongside the grieving, feeling their loss with them. Compassion reaches out to alcoholics and drug addicts. Compassion is at the center of Christian service, for it is the hallmark of love. Compassion is the love response to hurt. Brother and sister, do you have it? Are you compassionate to those who hurt? Spirit-filled men and women will have it. For Romans 15 and verse 14 says, "Now I am myself confident concerning you, my brethren, that you also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another." It's just part. Being filled with compassion is just part of being filled with goodness. The goodness and compassion of the living God. May God raise up a multitude of spirit-filled, word-filled Christians in this church, able to counsel one another with compassion. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we're too busy. We're so going helter and skelter. We don't take time to hurt with those that are hurting. Oh Lord, may you help us to have hearts of compassion as Jesus had, as the Father has. Oh Lord, may we hurt with people. May we reach out to people. May we seek to just help, to bend down, to stoop down, to caress with words, to encourage, to feel with, to identify. Oh Lord, we want to reach out. We want to be your compassionate people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.